this way of departing this world, that someone can live a very Islamic life and then give his blood for the sake of Islam and be a martyr at the end of the day. Now, for the time being, we want to learn about some aspects of the lifestyle of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. As for the jurisprudential side of the program, one of the rules that we need to learn following the lifestyle of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam is, which is very common, unfortunately, in these countries for those living in the West, is when you come across any sort of transaction which has something to do with alcoholic beverages, that we touched on it last night. In Islam, and there's a clear hadith from the Prophet that the Almighty God has cursed with regards to Al-Kham 10 groups of people. So the one who is planting the vineyard is cursed. If the purpose of that is that they're planting it to grow grapes, to sell it to a factory that is making wine. The truck driver that is taking it to the factory that is making wine or any alcoholic beverages. All those working in that company. The one who is having a liquor shop and is selling alcohol. The one who goes buying it. The one who drinks it. It's not only the one who drinks that is cursed in the eyes of God. Anyone who has anything to do with alcoholic beverages, it's cursed, and it's any sort of transaction with that is absolutely forbidden. Even if you are a painter and you get a job that you paint a liquor shop, all right, it's not allowed. Because by painting the shop, you are boosting that business. You are improving that business. That's, again, not permissible. Even if you are a painter, for example, and you are painting, you get a job that you have to paint a hotel, for example, and part of that hotel that is bar, again, you cannot do that as a painter. You are a student, you have a meeting with your supervisor, for example, and there is alcohol on the table. You cannot sit around the table where alcohol is served. You are working, you are a businessman, and there's a business meeting. The CEO of a big company, you are having a meeting with them, and that meeting involves millions of dollars, let's say. Still, if there is alcohol on that table, you are not allowed to sit around the table where alcohol is served. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was invited to a very royal dinner. The king of his town had invited the heads of the different madhahib, and there was a very big banquet. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was there as well. As soon as the servants, they put the bottles of wine on the table, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam stood up to leave. They said, "Ya Ibn Rasulullah, what happened?" And yani, this is not nice. He said that because my grandfather said that whoever is sitting around a table close where alcohol is served is cursed. I don't want to be cursed. I don't care what kind of banquet, whose party is this, even if it belongs to the king of the town. And remember, those kings were very tyrants, really. It could jeopardize your life. Yet, Imam left it. So, one aspect of the lifestyle of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is that at the end of the day, any time that you go anywhere, you remember that you are with your present Imam, Imam Al-Fajjaj Jalallahu Farajahu Sharif. We care about his view, not others' view. Try to live a lifestyle that Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam lived it. Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, not only they never had a sip of drink, ajallakumullah, of course, I don't need to touch on that for you guys, but even to have any sort of association with anyone. One sister, she told me that where she was working, her boss gave her a bottle of vodka as a gift, for example. She said, "Can I get that one? And and then I destroy it. At least I contribute to one less, bottle of vodka in this country." I said, "Don't accept it, even though you are going to destroy it." She was not the type of woman who drinks, of course, but her intention was that I get it and I destroy it. I said, "No, don't accept it, because he doesn't know whether you're going to drink it or not. The fact that you accept it, he thinks that, well, some Muslims they take it, they accept it." No, they have to understand that this is not a gift to a Muslim. This is a disrespect to a Muslim. So any business that has anything to do with alcohol, avoid it. You are working in a store, for example, all right? And you're a cashier of that store. Part of things that you are selling is if you know the customer has bought something from the alcoholic side of it, wine or beer, different types of it, you cannot get into that transaction as well. All right, we have to be very careful. I know sometimes it becomes difficult, but when there is a way, when there is a will, there is a way, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Tonight I want to share something with you and inshallah give an explanation about a new perhaps approach to our daily prayers. Inshallah we lead it to a different interpretation for the daily prayers so that by the grace of God we get more motivation to our daily prayers and why is it that we pray and how are we supposed to pray. Brothers and sisters, the only virus that is absolutely detrimental to our spiritual health, in fact, not only to our spiritual health, to our physical health as well, according to so many ayat and riwayat, it consists of three letters only, S-I-N, which means sin. All right? If you succeed by the grace of God, if you succeed to avoid sin, we'll be prosperous. We'll be, inshallah, enjoying our life in this world and in the hereafter. The more we get involved into sinning, the less we enjoy the life of dunya, and the less we enjoy the life of the hereafter. In fact, there's no joy in the hereafter. This is absolutely the case. All great scholars that have studied their lifestyle, from the time of the beginning of the minor occultation to present time, any of them who succeeded, they became very eminent scholars, close to God, it's because they managed to avoid sins. The reason that we admire and honor the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam is not because they had a blood relation with the Prophet. Even the Prophet himself, the reason that the Almighty God is praising him greatly, again, is because he avoided sins. There is an ayah in the Quran, the tone of the ayah is so strong, really we get a goosebump when we read it, that the Almighty God says to the Prophet, قُلْ إِنِّي أَخَافْ إِنْ عَصَيْتُ رَبِّي عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. Tell them that even me, as the Prophet, the last Prophet, the seal of the Prophets, if I disobey God, and if I sin, I'm scared of the great torment and punishment. So God is not mocking around us, not joking with anyone. Even God forbid, if a Prophet sleeps, there's a punishment for him. As a matter of fact, the punishment for the Prophets and those who have a status in society is much greater than an ordinary person. And hence you see that Prophet Yusuf, he didn't sin. It was just sleep, something that it would be better for him not to do it. You know the story that when his mate in the prison was released, all what he says, remind me to your king that I'm innocent. I'm really being in prison for years for no reason. Just because of what he has said, the Almighty God prolonged his staying because you are supposed to have your full trust in God. Maybe for ordinary people this would be acceptable, but for a prophet, for someone in your caliber, no, why did you ask anyone else? You should have put all your trust only in Almighty God. So the sins of great people is greater. The punishment for sinning of the great people is greater. Now, the reason that we ordinary Muslims, we sin, is not because we don't believe in God. Because we say, غضبًا عنك, astaghfirullah, that I don't care about what God says, I want to sin. It's because we become heedless, huh? We become absent-minded. Very often, honestly, for us, especially I'm talking about us, people that, inshallah, we believe in Islam, we try to practice Islam, we love Imam Hussein alayhi salam. As sort of practicing Muslims, relatively practicing Muslims, we don't sin just because we want to sin. We sin because we slip, because we become absent-minded. And that's why when somebody reminds me that, Shaykh, you shouldn't have said that, astaghfirullah. Yeah, you're right. Even if I don't have the courage to admit it on the spot, later on, I go think and I realize, yeah, he's right. I shouldn't have said it. All right? So, whereas for a disbeliever, for kuffar, they sin because they don't believe in God. They don't care. Who knows who says that there's hell or heaven or things like that. So, kuffar, they sin because of their denial. You and I, we don't sin because we deny, because we become heedless. Ghafil is the ghafla that is driving us away from the right path. Question, how can I get rid of my ghafla so that I can avoid sin as much as possible? How can I avoid this? Quran and numerous riwayat says that the medicine for the heedlessness, the medicine for being oblivious or for ghafla is a dhikr, remembrance of God. The more we can remember God, the less chance for us to sin. And that's why when you are somewhere that the magnetic field of dhikr is very strong, like when you are in this majlis, when you go to the mosque, we all have experienced that. Where we are somewhere that there is a strong magnet of remembrance of God, less chance for us to sin. The farther away we get from that magnetic field, the easier it becomes to sleep and sin. We all have experienced that, isn't it? That's why when we are in our workforce, in the uni, or places that less Muslims are around, less spiritual magnet is there, the more we become absent-minded. Those who listen to music, internally they are creating a magnetic field of shaitan and therefore makes it easier for them to sleep and sin. Those who listen to dua, Quran and things that, again, internally they create more spiritual magnet. Alright? Now, how can I create a magnetic field of remembrance around myself at all time? أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ Quran says that there are certain people that are constantly praying. 24/7. I might have mentioned to you, do you have 7-Eleven here? Do you have 7-Eleven stores here? Alright. You know the story of 7-Eleven? Once upon a time, none of you remember, once upon a time, they opened a store that was opening from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. It was wow to work back then, from 7 to 11, because working hours was not like now, it was much less. So it stood up as the name of a company. 7 to 11 are open. Now the 7-Eleven, most of them are 24 hours. They have exceeded their names. Now, how can I 24-7, I say, not only 7-Eleven, how can I 24-7 remember God? That I have that field of remembrance around myself. How can I constantly pray? Is it possible to be as-salat salatim da'imun? How can I always pray? When some people read this ayah, they think that Quran is saying that you don't do anything else. Just around the clock, stand and pray. No, that's not the case. Salah is from the root of wasle. Those who have a bit of Arabic background, they know Salah yasli or yaslu, it's from wasale. When there is a connection. Once there is a connection to your Wi-Fi, from your mobile to your Wi-Fi, then there is a salah. Literally, there is a salah. The connection is on. You lose the connection, there is no salat. Salat, it means to keep yourself in connection with your Creator. So long story short, one of the best ways to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to start with your salat. This is definitely the best platform to get yourself in connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about this, and that's why the merciful God has made this for us. We need different dosages of different types of medicines spiritually. As there's a physical malnutrition, that if I don't have enough types of vitamins, I get sick, get prone to various types of illnesses, isn't it? My body needs all types of vitamins, not to be malnutritionist. Likewise, spiritually, my soul needs various types of vitamins. However, there is a kind of vitamin that once in lifetime, that injection, that needle is enough. And that is called Hajj. You go to Hajj once in your lifetime, you should be immune for the rest of your life. The more, the merrier, but the very bare minimum that you need once in your lifetime. So that vaccination called Hajj gives you certain kinds of vitamin that is enough for the rest of your life. This another one is fasting. You need it once a year. Like some elderly people that they say take it, flu vaccine that immunes your body. You need it once a year in the month of Ramadan. There is a kind of medicine that it's so essential for your body that you need to take it daily, on daily basis. That's why we call it daily prayers. Salawat al-Yawmiyyah. Daily you need it. And not only once, you need it 5 times a day. Rest assured, brothers and sisters, that if we could do without it, the Almighty God would not impose this on us as an obligation. So the very minimum obligation that we need to make sure that our spirituality in terms of that soil, that vitamin, is constantly provided to our body, is that we need to start our day with that, break the day, the middle of the day, afternoon, maghrib, and isha, end your day with it, start your day with it. And this is just wajibat. If someone wants to be stronger, you know who's, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with this expression, six packs, you go to the gym, guys especially, who are six packs, that they want to build muscles, be strong. If you want spiritually also to be very fit and strong, Riwayat says that even to stick to 7 rak'at prayer of daily prayers, it's good, but it's not enough. You want to build muscles, you want to be spiritually very strong. Going to the gym once a month doesn't do much, if anything. How often do you go? Twice? 3 times? All right? Those who are into it, they know that 2-3 times you have to go at least to the gym, all right? I hope we can communicate, you understand each other. Likewise, if you want, now I tell boys that if you want to check yourself, how many packs, how strong are you spiritually, I show you, excuse me, sisters, you just keep talking to yourself, I'm talking to the guys for a second. Walking off the street, not in winter season, you're lucky in Sweden, winter season, you have got less challenge compared with another part of the old like city that I was living. But at work, uni, on the street, summertime, like someone is passing by, girl passing by, see how strong you are spiritually if you have control over your eye muscles. Mashallah, you a strong guy. Six pack, tall, strong. But if you see you have no control over your eyes, you are the weakest. You are the weakest. So it's not just good to say that I've got my muscles are strong. Excuse me, chimpanzee's muscles are stronger than you. That doesn't mean a virtue, huh? That's not a big deal. The big deal is a young man like Prophet Yusuf, and we don't need to be Prophet Yusuf. No, of course, in that test, yes. But less than that, come on, at least قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. To say to a believing man that you can lower your gaze. You have control over your eyes. How I can do that? If I know that God is watching me. I bet you, I remember, I'm talking to you guys, to ourselves, to myself, us, that we pray, we fast, we come to the masjid of Abu Abdullah Hussein, working night, yani, I'm sure you meant business to come here. Otherwise, why did you have to come tonight? You meant you're after something to come here, all right? So for you guys, there is another expectation, and God is expecting from us more, that you should be able to control it. And you and I, if we know that someone that we honor and respect a lot, I'm sorry to give the example, but there is a sheikh that you respect is with you walking on the street. You wouldn't, and when I say you, please don't take it personal. You wouldn't dare looking lustfully at a woman. You control your eyes. You are driving me around the city, and now you behave yourself because sheikh is sitting beside me, all right? I have to be careful, man. What if instead of Sheikh, an Ayatollah is sitting? Instead of an Ayatollah, your marja is sitting. Definitely you would behave better. What if instead of that marja, Imam al-Hujja is sitting? Definitely you would behave yourself better. And what if the Creator is sitting? Ana jaliso man dhakarani. Remember this hadith. Rahmatullah alayhi. Please say salawat to the soul of all the scholars who passed away, particularly Ayatollah Bahjat, rahmatullah alayhi. Ayatollah Bahjat used to say that this hadith, Qudsi, that the Almighty God says, Ana jaliso man dhakarani. I am the companion of the one who remembers me. He says, this hadith, I want to fly when I read it. This is the most beautiful hadith I've ever come across. God says that I am the companion of the one who remembers me. Yani when we remember God, God is my companion. God is with me. Imagine how strong you feel. Imagine the spirituality that you have. We're talking about the magnetic field, huh? Now, when God, you feel God is so close to you, your companion. Of course, you're not talking physical. When you feel the presence of God, Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, he used to say that this world is the mahabar, is at the presence of God. In the presence of God, don't see him. أَفَمَنْ هُوَ قَائِمٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ. Quran says that if you are only conscious that God is there watching me, definitely would behave better. Come on, you are driving, you know certain areas. Some of you are familiar with the surveillance cameras, on the speed cameras. You know that there are cameras certain places, or there are cops here and there. Because you know where the cops are standing, you behave yourself. Now, if I know that God is watching me, and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is telling one of his companions, he says that خَفِ اللَّهِ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. Fear the punishment of God as if you see him. Because if you don't see him, he surely sees you. And if you believe that he doesn't see you, no longer you are Muslim. And if you believe that he sees you, yet you see him, you've made him, you have belittled the status of God so much. A young boy is around, a sheikh is around, and you behave yourself. Shame on me. How should I not behave knowing that God is watching me? So please, I don't have much time to explain with you. My nights are very limited. So I'm just trying to get to the point without getting to technicality of it. Get used to, brothers and sisters, get used to saying dhikr. This verbal dhikr is an introduction to the remembrance of the heart. And once your heart and your mind is with God, controls your eyes. Because it's the brain that has to send the commands to the eyes, the ears, and to the tongue. The more adhkar you say, like, from tonight, start a different relation with God. I may give you, it may sound silly, but to tell you that, how far you can. There is no far, in fact, in that. I'm driving and I'm looking for a spot to park my car. I can't find any spot to park. I said, Ya Allah, 14 salawat, I make it nazar for ma'asumin alayhi salam, or gift it to Imam al-Hujjah that I can find a spot. Immediately I find a spot to drive and park my car. You know, the riwayat says that even the salt of your food, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are examples. You are driving, remember God. Start talking with God. God understands Swedish well, alright? Any language you speak, just talk to him. As long as you are in communication, the more you talk to God, the more you'll be in touch. Okay? Make it 24/7. Dhikrullah hasanun ala kulli hal. Remembrance of God. Talking to God is good at all times. Some they say that, is it possible to listen to the Quran when I'm in the bathroom? I said, we have azkar when you go to the bathroom. Excuse me to be explicit. For number one, there is a dhikr. For number two, there is a dhikr. Okay? If you don't believe it's a blessing, God forbid, if something happens to your bowel system, then you appreciate it more. Okay? So, remembrance of God at all time is good. There is no such situation that to say that it's makruh to remember God. No matter what. No matter what. And the more we remember God, the more we are in communication, the more we speak with God. And doesn't have to be through particular ayah or dua or things like that. In any way, form or shape that you can talk to God, talk to Him. Even if you complain to God, so be it. You're upset with God. You know, sometimes there are riwayat that God says, I deliberately delay granting what my servant wants because I enjoy listening to him. I want him to keep coming because I know how slack humans are. I know the moment I give him, he disappears. He doesn't turn up anymore. When he's in need, that now he's desperate, you see, he get up for night prayer, it's before exam time, he needs God. He passes the exam, he doesn't look back anymore. Alright? Now, talking about Salat, SubhanAllah, say Salawat. The essence of remembrance of God, the core of remembrance of God is in our daily prayer. وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. So many ayat confirms that. God says that for those who say that, how can I remember God? Quran says, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Offer the salat, establish salat so that you remember me. And that's why you know that your nawafil, mustahab prayer, you can even do it when you're walking, when you're driving. You don't have to be at the masjid or towards the qibla. As long as you are with wudu, and always try to be with your wudu. Get used to this habit. It's a very good habit. And creates a shield of nur for you. Anytime you leave home, make your wudu, make it part of your system. You leave home with wudu. Wallah, I've experienced that. Inshallah, you will be spiritually protected. All right? And besides, there's a time for salat. You're out, you don't, especially sisters, you know, difficult for them to find a place, take off their hijab to make wudu. But whereas if you're with wudu, you're ready for salat. It's time to pray your slow prayer, you pray wherever you can. It's time for nawafil, you offer your nawafil. How often I've been driving and I've done my nawafil at Zohr, salat al-lay, as driving, so what? There's an ayah in the Quran confirms that, riwayat confirms that. Because Imam Ali salam, in his letter to his son, he says, Ya Bunay I'lam, remember this hadith. I say you please repeat after me, inshallah, it helps you remember it more. I'lam anna kulla shay'in min amalik taba'un lisalatik. My dear son, know that everything in your life rotates around your salat. Everything in your Your prosperity, if you want to enjoy your life in paradise, rotates around salat. God forbid those who get hellbound because of their salat. Ma salakakum fi saqar. Quran says that we interviewed some people who are in hell. What made you get into hell? Said, lam nakum min al-musallin. We're not praying. So those who are in hell because they didn't pray. Those who are in paradise because they prayed. In dunya, you want to succeed, your success in this dunya rotates around your salat. Those who are interested into spirituality and they want to spiritually elevate themselves, Ayatollah Bahjat that I mentioned to you, Ayatollah Bahjat never conducted any lecture of Irfan and Akhlaq and things like that. Alright? I knew him very well, I was very close with him. He never had classes or lectures of Akhlaq and Irfan. How did he attract people spiritually? How did he, how did he influence his students? Just he was doing his daily salat, jama'ah prayer. He was the imam of a masjid. He was the imam of a masjid. I don't know if any of you had the blessing of praying behind him, especially Laylatul Jum'ah. You go pray behind him, it touches you. The way that he's communicating with God. He was enjoying his salat. He was really enjoying it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has amazing hadith about salat. He says that qurratu ayni as-salat. My delight in this dunya, my hobby in this dunya is salat. You know how some people have a hobby that when you get tired of your work, your study, you go to your hobby to enjoy. The Prophet says that I enjoy it when I pray. When you are hungry, you enjoy food. You really enjoy it when you are hungry. But there is a limit. You get satisfied. Huh? The Prophet says that when you're thirsty, you enjoy the drink, but there's a limit. No matter how much you are thirsty, you have certain amount of water and then you can't drink anymore. But the Prophet says that spirituality is not like this. I never get satisfied from salat. It's just that my body cannot take it anymore. If you hear that Imam Ali alayhi salam was praying sometimes 1,000 rakat prayer every day and night, and he says that, I wish I could do it more. My body just cannot take it anymore. Because I enjoy it. I enjoy it. What is in salat that they enjoyed it and we don't enjoy it? Why is it that for us it's so mechanical? Bang, 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 finish it. And get it done and go back to work. But for them, it was a major part of their lifestyle. Remember, I said in the beginning, we want to go to the lifestyle of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. If you say salawat, I'll take you on a quick journey about salat, inshallah. My time is getting short, but if you please, I wish I had a remote control for this clock to just stop it.
You started later.
The good thing is that you don't look at it. Please don't look at your clock, but join me. Fasten your seatbelt, and we're going to take you to a spiritual...
Take your time, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for generosity and your patience, inshallah. Inshallah, I won't keep you long, but I just quickly, really just a taste of it. The rest of it is something that man lam yaduq lam yadre. We need to experience it individually to enjoy it. To tell you that what is all about this salat, as-salatu mi'rajul mu'min, as-salatu qurbanu kulli taqi. Everyone who wants to get close to God, your platform, the first and the best platform is in your salat. Salat is one of the most merciful gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, that has opened a communication, has given you and I an individual, what do you call it, audience, that you can communicate with God individually or collectively all together. Before we start our journey, and please don't get me wrong, I have to somehow give you an example so that you can grasp the situation better. Some of you are married, some are at the age of marriage, but by and large, you will have an idea of the example that I give you. Imagine that you are engaged. I make it halal, of course, relation. You are engaged, and you are in love with that girl or that guy. And whether the girl side or the guy side, that now you want to pay her a visit, go to her house and see her, your fiancé. You know, fiancé that you are engaged, halal, done the aqd, but haven't started moving together. Things are very sweet at that time. Inshallah will become sweeter after that as well, but especially at that time is very romantic, halal romantic. Before you go, obviously you look at yourself, you go for grooming. You guys, you know what is grooming? You know, trimming your beard, looking after yourself, wearing perfume and things like that. The same situation is happening on the other side. I don't need to go to the details of it. Likewise, because I'm going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember, as-salatu mi'rajul mu'min is the ascension of a believer. Soon I'm going to take you to the presence of God, the Creator, the actual love, the real love that we are going to experience. So I need to also go for a bit of grooming. That's why we make our wudu. This wudu, washing the face, washing the arms and things like that, wiping on the head, these are just expressions of cleanliness. Wudu, the essence of wudu or ghusl is cleanliness. And because my body is part of my soul, and because I fly with my body and soul as well, my body will be in the presence of God, so will be my soul as well. So I clean my body. Like if I'm in the state of janab, I cannot, because my body is not clean. So I do the ghusl or wudu, whichever that is required. And then, like the one who's not driving to her house, and he's preparing himself that, like, what I'm gonna say, I have this story for her today and stuff like that. Likewise, after you've made your wudu, you're on the way to go to your stand on your prayer mat. When you are there, the adhan and iqama begins. Remember, adhan and iqama is what? I bear witness, there is no God but Allah. Please make sure you know at least the bare minimum translation of your salat. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. It's just like you are starting your engine, getting yourself ready to take off. And you're already now, you're on your prayer mat. I'm going very quick so that I don't keep you long. You are on your prayer mat to start your journey, to ascend. The moment that you raise your hand, say, Allahu Akbar. Let me tell you about this Allahu Akbar. Jurisprudentially, you can say Allahu Akbar without raising your hands. It's enough to say Allahu Akbar. But you raise your hand, and it's mustahab to raise it seven times. The seventh is the start one. You know the wisdom behind it? One of the wisdoms behind it is that, like somebody invites you and says that, are you coming there? You say, no. Come on, man, let's go. No. Come on, we are waiting for you. No, I'm not coming. I'm not going to this type of party or these places. Until you just, he's frustrating, you said, leave me alone, man, I'm not coming. When you are standing towards God, towards the Qibla, and that Qibla again is symbol of facing God with your soul and body. Once, no, like I'm saying no to my studying, no to business, no to whatever, you name it, things that were otherwise attracting your attention, priority that I would give to them, now it's Salat time, no to sleeping for morning prayer, for example. There are many no's. Seven no's, no, no, and a strong expression, raising hands. No. When you say no to others, yani Allahu Akbar. Why no? Allahu Akbar. Why not sleeping? Allah, because God is the greatest. God is greater than sleeping. God is greater than business. God is greater than studying, uni, and you name it. And that's why I left them all behind facing God. And then you start, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When Noah, Prophet Nuh, got into his ark, started the journey, Quran says, Bismillah majraha wa mursaha. You start the engine with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God. Also, that spiritual journey, you already fasten your seatbelt, ready to take off. You start the journey, your aircraft, with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And you start moving. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. All praise belong to God. Note, I need to make a detour quick here and take you to school. Even though you hate grammar, it helps you a little bit here. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the most gracious, Maliki Yawmuddin, the master of the day of judgment, they are all in absent tenses. Like someone who is not at your present. It's just like you're talking about... let's say that His Eminence Sheikh Hakim Allah, he is not here. Say he so and so. He you say he, don't say you. All right. Alhamdulillah. It means that he, all praise belong to him. Okay. Why him? Because still I'm not at his presence. My aircraft is not ascending. Altitude is every second increasing. Until immediately, all of a sudden, subhanAllah, you will be in the presence of God spiritually. Instead of saying, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Maliki Yawmuddin, Iyaka Na'budu. Here we say, Iyaka Na'budu, you alone, no longer him. You alone. It's only sensible to say, Sheikh Mansur, you, when Sheikh Mansur is in front of you. Huh? It's nonsense to say, you, when you're not with me. Am I making any sense? Now, the fact that in your salat say, you alone we worship, and you alone we seek for help, that means that you are not in the presence of God. This is called maqam al-hudur. This is called liqa'ullah. Something that urafa are longing for, to be in the presence of God. You imagine that you get an opportunity to see your marja, whoever you are following, and you would be dreaming for that. And now you have an audience, you and him alone, sitting beside him, talking to him. How much do you enjoy? Come on. You come back from that trip, you're going to tell the whole world that I had the honor of sitting with Ayatollah Khamenei, Ayatollah Sistani, that marja. Huh? Now we had the honor of being in the presence of God. You alone we worship. You alone we seek for help. Now that I'm at his presence, God says, ask me whatever you want. I'm so generous. What are you here for? Ask me from my bounty. Immediately, therefore, say, Ehdina Sarat al-Mustaqim. And why do we say Ehdina, not Ehdini? Because the essence of prayer is better to be always group. In a group form, there's more, again, the spirituality that a group creates is stronger than individually. One light has certain amount of voltages, but if there are so many lights, will be more bright. Huh? So that's why we are recommended to pray together. Even though individually we are communicating, what we are in a group of, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the right path. That's the most important dua. God, so many slip from the right path. I don't want to be among them. Inshallah, I come back to that in coming nights to tell you how dangerous the youth is. How many can have slipped and how easy it is to slip from the right path. Guide me, guide us to the right path. the path of those whom you believe. Who are those who believe? While you are in Surah Al-Ham, you are asking God to have the honor of the company of Shuhada, Anbiya, Awsiya, Siddiqeen. In other words, you are asking God to grant you to enjoy the company of the Prophet, Imam Ali, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And you will see that soon it will be granted. غَيْرَ الْمَغْضُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. You finish speaking with God, God now talks to you. Now it becomes, it's not monologue. Salat is not monologue. It's a mutual communication. It's a bilateral communication. You spoke and now God speaks to you. Allahu Akbar. God speaks to me? Yes. God speaks to every single individual of his creation. But when God speaks to me, I can't hear God. I'm not Prophet Musa. Therefore, God puts the word in my mouth. Says, Qul. Again, Qul is different from Qala. Qala means he said. Qul, you, presence. You say it. Yani, I'm talking to you. And not Qalu again, or Qulu. You guys, you say, all individually. God talks to everyone individually. Communicates with you individually, Qul. Now you let me introduce myself to you. God says, "Qul huwa Allahu ahad." God is unique. Allahu samad. God is needless. You are needy. I'm needless. Says God. Lam yalid. He doesn't beget. Lam yulad. He doesn't beget nor is he begotten. To the end of the Surah Tawhid, for example, any of the surah. Inna anzalna. Again, inna. God refers to himself. Why God says we have revealed it? Not that because you are talking about plurality of Godhead, because God is talking as a majesty. We, the Queen of England. There's only one Queen for England. Do you have Queen here? King here? This is the language that they use. We, the King. Have you seen when they speak, they use the term we? This we is not a plural we. We call it the majesty we. So it's the majesty of God talking to you. Yet, you had the honor of being at his presence. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. You name it, any surah you pick up, God is talking to you. Wow, I spoke with God. God spoke with me. You will be so impressed that you want to express your gratitude, your thank. Therefore, you bow. You go to the ruku'. سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمِ وَبِحَمْدِ. Glory to my Lord. How great he is that he allowed me to be with him. You stand up, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. God hears my praise. Bowing, you say that it's not enough. I might, even though we should not, but I've seen people bowing and bending before each other a bit. Some cultures, that's how they greet. Asians, that's how they greet. Now, I want to express more humiliation before him. Because the more I humble myself before him, the more he will honor me. And therefore, you drop yourself on the ground. And go to the sajda, a position that you don't do it for anyone else. No one does it for anyone else. I do not know of any culture that they greet each other with prostration. Sajda, huh? You go to the sajda, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim wa bihamdi. Once, not enough. For the second time, to confirm it, that it wasn't an accident that I fell on the floor, or I was deliberate, Ya Rab. You go to the sajda again, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi. God, is it possible to experience that rak'ah again? Come to your presence? Yeah, by all means, my servant. Come back to me. You enjoy the second rak'ah again. The same stuff that I mentioned to you. Alhamdulillah. You start afresh. To be more conscious this time. To enjoy that. I wasn't satisfied. My soul still needs. In the second rak'ah, after, you know, yes, I said, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. God, I have some dua. That is it possible now to say it other than or I have to only say Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim? God says, no, ask what you wish. Even raise your hands like a beggar. Like a beggar. In the middle of your prayer, in the heart of your prayer, in the second rak'ah, after I spoke with you, now bring your hands and I pour on it. Ask as you wish. You know, in the qunut, you can speak Swedish. You can speak Arabic. You can speak Farsi. You can speak any language you wish. There's no restriction. And what to say? As you wish. How long to say? As you wish. I'm there for you. I'm not getting bored. God never gets bored. All right? So we ask our dua in Qunut, whatever that you want, take advantage of the opportunity. God is not like the king, God, those humans that you've got a limited time, brother. I don't have much time for you. 10 minutes, next person is waiting. God is not like that. God says, I'm all for you. You will get, you and I will get bored, not God. All right? We finish the Qunut, we go again to the Ruku, Sujood. I promise you not to keep it long. Already my time is past. But let's really go and experience it. Inshallah, tomorrow morning, get up with this concept and pray. And see how much you experience, how much you achieve yourselves. In tashahud, during tashahud, we make it limited to the like a 2 rakat prayer for the time being. Tashahud, you know what is tashahud? Now you understand this concept that if you're working in a company or in an office, that you've got a card that you slide and, you know, there's a code for it. You only can pass through, not everyone, isn't it? Also, likewise, for entering paradise, not every Tom, Dick, and Harry can go to paradise. Unless you have a passport. You need to have a passport. What is the password of getting to paradise? Shahadatain. And that's why tashahud is your password. Remember, type it. Remember it. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Allahumma salli ala muhammad. That's the password that every day you've been saying it in your prayer. It became part of your nature. With your salat, you are building and making your spiritual existence in barzakh, in the hereafter. Every day that you pray, you are making your reality in life after death. Make sure that you build it properly. That's why the days that I haven't been fasting, I have to make it up. Because my existence in the hereafter will be missing some parts. Okay? Now, I say that automatically the gate of paradise opens before me. Automatically opens. And as soon as it opens, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is at the door. Now, brothers, when we meet, we say, Salaamu alaikum, Ya Sayyid Ali, how are you, brother? Huh? When I'm not around, do you say, Salaamu alaikum, Shaykh Mansur? Impossible. In your salat, you say what after tashahud? As-salamu alayk ayyuhan nabiyya wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Remember when you were doing hamd, you said, God, I want the company of the Prophet, awliya, anbiya. How many of you wanted to meet with Imam Hussain alayhi salam, with the Prophet? You were serious? God already granted it in your salat. Before you finish your salat, it's already granted, man. To say as-salamu alayk ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, or I say salam to you is mustahab. For you to reply, or you say it first, for me to reply is wajib. Is wajib. Initiating salam is mustahab. Replying the salam is wajib. Now you tell me, is it possible for the Prophet to miss a wajib? Is it possible? So rest assured, sisters, brothers, every time in your prayer, say, As-salamu alayk, ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, hear it, the reply of the Prophet, wa alayki as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. More complete even than how we have been greeting him. Now you tell me the salam of the Prophet, what does it bring for us? How much you enjoy it, really? I know people that they would not proceed to as-salamu alayna until I hear the reply. I know some individually that they say, when I say As-salamu alayk ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, I hear the reply with the ears of my heart and then I proceed to the second salam. What is the second salam? At the gate of paradise, the Prophet, I saw the Prophet with my soul, greeted him, he greeted me back and he took me inside. Let me give you a tour in paradise. Didn't you want the companionship of my children? Sisters, didn't you want the companionship of Sayyidah Zainab, Fatima al-Zahra, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Ahlul Bayt al-Hussein? There you go. Sit with them. And you find yourself among an abundant blessing. As-salamu alayna wa ala abadillahi salihin. As-salamu alayna wa as-salamu alayna. It's a plural greeting. Instead of saying, as-salamu alaykum, as-salamu alaykum, as-salamu alaykum. In Arabic, if you want to make it plural, you say, as-salamu alayna. So you're with a group of Anbiya, Awliya, Aimeh, and say, As-salamu alayna وَعَلَىٰ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ الصَّالِحِينَ. All the pious and righteous people. The sad news is that this journey has to finish soon. And now you see how sad it becomes. That immediately you come back to earth, and therefore you greet your friend that you remember it was Jama'a prayer. اِهْدِنَا الصَّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Now you know after you finish your prayer, you are greeting each other. How was the trip? Did you enjoy the trip? Now you tell me, is this mechanical? And there is much more into it. There's much more into it. Go experience it and enjoy it yourself. Impossible someone enjoys the spirituality of Salat and gets slack with his Salat or her Salat. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayki. يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا ابن رسول الله. Tonight I want to share with you part of the just one piece of tragic event that Sayyidi Zainab Salamullah alayha she went through. A lady that never in her lifetime missed her night prayer. Not only that, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says that even on the journey from Karbala to Kufa, even when we're in the dungeon in Kufa, and from Kufa to Damascus, despite the lack of sleep, lack of enough food, I always notice that my ammati Zainab, she is on her feet praying, offering her Salat al-Layl, apart from daily prayers. Except one night I noticed that in Damascus, in Sham, that she offered her Salat al-Layl seated. I said, something really must have happened to my auntie. I went to her and I said, ammati Zainab, why is it that I see you tonight praying seated? She says, because it's been 3 days and night. The loaf of bread that they give us is not even enough to feed the children. And I've been sharing my food with the children. Your amme has no longer strength on her knees to stand on her feet and offer a prayer. Still, she did not miss her prayer. This is the Sayyidah Zainab that we have. She was so strong when it comes to in her communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there was also brothers and sisters. Another situation that Zainab could not stand on her feet. She said that my knees have no strength to stand up. You know when it was? When the caravan of the Usara and the captives, so-called captives of Ahlul Bayt, they wanted to move the land of Karbala on the 11th or 12th of Muharram. And imagine the situation. They were all wrapped with robes or chains, taken as captives of war. There are two narrations. Some they say that deliberately they took them passing by the Maqtal and the murder side of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein to burn them, really, to be more spiteful on them. And another narration says that they requested it, whatever the case was. You know how Zainab and Imam Hussein were connected to each other spiritually. These two brothers and sisters could never live without each other. And now when Zainab wants to leave the land of Karbala, and she knows that she won't be able ever to see her brother anymore, and therefore when she is passing by the Maqtal, I cannot fathom to imagine how can a sister stand the scene looking at the headless body of her brother. And that's why they say she just dropped herself from the camel. She sat around the headless body of her brother Hussein, looking at the body that was crushed by the hooves of the horse. A body that even doesn't have fingers. She so painfully started talking to the Prophet, her grandfather, Ya Jannah, Ya Rasulallah. انظر هذا حسين كبل عراق Murammal ummet dema. Oh, grandfather, look at your grandson. This is Hussein. Ya Rasulallah, look how he is soaked in his blood. Do you see how his body is crushed? She kept talking and talking and talking that she made everybody around her wailing and crying. I'm so embarrassed to finish tell you what happened. As she was kneeling in front before her brother and talking to the Prophet, all of the sudden, Ya Allah, Azam Allah, Juraka, Ya Sahib al-Zaman, she felt the heat of the flag. She felt the heat of the whipping. One of the enemy from behind, he was whipping the granddaughter of the Prophet, trying to get her out. Ala lanatullah ala al-zalimin wa sayalamu alladhina zalamu ayyamun ghalaban yanghalibun amman yujibu al-mustarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su 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 أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء بجاه محمد وآل محمد وبحرمة الفاتحة مع الصلوات
اللهم صل على محمد.